Mental health insights.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. Today, I would like to read information from the October issue of Share International magazine, starting with one of a rather esoteric theme titled The Teachings of Maitreya the Christ by Benjamin Krem. And it starts as follows. The Master Joao Kuhl, DK for short, has outlined for us the teachings of the Christ, which we shall find are the teachings which we all inherently know and accept to be true. Right human relations are at the basis of our lives, and to create such right relations, do we come into incarnation again and again? He will reiterate the need and show the way to implement them. The first step in the creation of right human relations is the transformation of our political, economic, and social structures. The spiritual crisis through which mankind is passing is focused today through these fields, and at the core of the economic problem is that of distribution and redistribution. Right human relations is the next divinely ordained achievement of humanity. It is not possible to stand in right relationship to our brothers and sisters in the developing countries when we live in luxury and waste while they starve and die in their millions. The solution is obvious. Sharing the resources of this plentiful world is the essential first step into right relationship. Maitreya will make this clear and inspire humanity to act towards this end. His call for sharing and justice is the only way to true peace, and therefore to the continuance of the race and the saving of the world, is essentially a call for the establishment of right human relations and the renunciation of the manifestly wrong relationships in the world today, the competition and greed, individually, nationally and internationally, the hatred and violence worldwide and potent as never before, the separativeness and exclusiveness, the fanatical adherence to one's own ideal, all the bitterness and distrust which has brought us to the edge of self-destruction. The potency of Maitreya's energy of love, the sword of cleavage, has produced the polarization which now exists and will show clearly the way forward for humanity. Around him will gather all those who stand for inclusiveness and love, justice and freedom of the human spirit. Those who stand for separativeness and exploitation, competition and greed will likewise stand revealed, and the choice before humanity will be crystal clear between love and hate, between sharing and greed, between peace and war, life and death. The Christ has said, and this is in message number 11 given in January 1978, "My heart tells me your answer, your choice, and is glad." Responding to his love energy, people in every country, and it is already happening, will form themselves into groups demanding justice and peace and right relations. Soon, these groups will become the largest and most potent force in the world, ushering in the new era of peace and goodwill. In the recognition and understanding of the law of rebirth lies the key to right human relations and the solution of humanity's problems. It has been almost totally ignored in the West, although this is now changing, while in the East its passive acceptance and misinterpretation has resulted in stagnation of effort. Maitreya will show its total relevance to our long evolutionary journey to perfection, and this doctrine will become one of the keynotes of the new world religion. Where, in the West today, this law is accepted, the emphasis is almost exclusively on the recovery of past lives, with all the glamours and delusions to which that activity is open. Maitreya, the Christ, will show the true functioning of this law as the process of perfectionment of the soul in incarnation. It is the soul, in all forms, which incarnates, gradually bringing its successive vehicles to the point where it can express its nature in the three worlds of human living, physical, emotional, and mental. He will show the relation of the law of rebirth to the law of cause and effect, which in the East is called the law of karma. Through the correct understanding of this relationship, humanity will come to see the necessity for harmlessness in all its activities. Souls incarnate in groups, cyclically, to achieve right relations with each other and with their source. The responsibility and obligations inherent in this fact will be understood, and the necessity for and practicality of right relations will be made abundantly clear. The reappearance of the Christ today is the reappearance also into outer manifestation of the spiritual hierarchy of which he is the head. For the first time since Atlantean days, the hierarchy of masters and initiates will work openly in the world, known to us for what they are. They are the custodians of the ancient mysteries which contain the key to the evolutionary process, hidden in numbers, ritual, and symbol, and the key to the divine science, which will unlock for mankind the secrets of life itself and place within our hands the energies of the universe. These ancient mysteries will be revealed, the fact of the soul will be proved, and man's essential immortality will be known. The esoteric process of initiation is the conscious experience of thousands of initiates today. In this coming age, it will become the esoteric experience of millions more. Essentially, initiation is the result of, and leads to, an expansion of conscious awareness, a refinement of the instrument of perception and reception of higher values and spiritual understanding. Through this expansion of consciousness, the initiate becomes aware of levels of divine existence and states of consciousness from which he was hitherto cut off. This experience enhances his radiatory capacity and equips him for greater service to the world. He becomes a knower. Of these mysteries of initiation, Maitreya will teach. As the Hierophant at the first two initiations, he will guide humanity into the kingdom of God, the hierarchy of which he is the head. Through this experience, men will come to realize themselves as the gods they are. The majority of humanity today are still largely Atlantean in consciousness, that is, focused on the emotional plane. They are lost in the maze of the delusions of that plane, hence the present world turmoil and problem. To quote the Master DK, "The greatest service a man can render his fellow men is to free himself from the control of that plane by himself, directing its energies through the power of the Christ within." And the moment that the hearts of men are active, that moment sees the termination of emotional solar plexus activity. It is through the heart that men respond to the call of the Christ. By the stimulation of the love aspect, Maitreya can work through all to change the world and at the same time lift us out of our delusions, our ignorance and fears, and, through the greater livingness which his energy bestows, lead us into the light and a truer manifestation of our divinity. That completes the article by Benjamin Krem that was originally published in the July 1982 issue of Share International magazine. And now on a completely different note, we have an article from the trends section of Share International, and the title of the article is "Diplomats Without Borders, a New Service to Mend Our Troubled World." And just before I start the article, I'll just explain this trends section. In it, Share International reviews developments and opinions which demonstrate that there is an increasingly powerful undercurrent sweeping the world in the direction of synthesis, sharing and cooperation, of new relationships and new approaches. And here goes with the article. "The world is more polarized than ever, a phenomenon which may make options and choices clearer by contrast, but which makes international cooperation more challenging. We are all experiencing the fallout from the increasing fragmentation of the world into different camps, a marked inability or unwillingness to reach multilateral solutions, coupled with a distortion of truth, facts, and science as disinformation is spread. A promising new organization has just been launched, Diplomats Without Borders, DWB for short. It aims to put the experience and expertise of former diplomats at the service of any parties involved in conflict, to mediate global crises, to bring fresh perspectives to resolve intractable problems around the world. Diplomats from 13 countries, and I'll list a few of them here, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Britain, Egypt, Jamaica, Kenya, Netherlands, and the United States, met this summer, inspired by the example of Médecins Sans Frontières, which is Doctors Without Borders. Members of DWB will be available pro bono to assist in prevention and mediation work, not so much as the organization itself, but as its individual members. They would contribute their wealth of personal experience to a given conflict using the abilities they acquired during their careers working in diplomacy at headquarters or in the field. They would also offer networks of other experts they built up during their careers. The services would focus on strengthening conflict prevention and resolution capacities, offering advice and training while providing a forum for worldwide dialogue. Diplomats Without Borders will set up a roster of its members. They also hope that by offering a global platform for discussions on diplomatic topics, a much-needed independent, safe space can be created in these times of growing polarization. The source of that article was from the website passblue.com. And here's another very short article from the trend section. It's titled "Walking Forest of 1,000 Trees Transforms Dutch City." To give people an opportunity to experience an alternative, greener future, volunteers have been transporting a walking forest of 1,000 native trees planted in wooden containers along a 3.5k kilometre route through the city centre of the Dutch city of Leeuwarden. The first stop on the working route was outside Leeuwarden's train station. And the general manager of a nearby hotel said, "The trees created such a calming effect, people immediately felt relaxed." And he had been inspired to install 10 large plant pots outside the hotel. The Walking Forest is an arts project with a program of performances and exhibitions that focus our attention on the urgent need to change our view of the relationship between humanity and nature. John Lackey, a student at the University of Groningen, said, "This project gives me hope. It shows us that if you're crazy enough to think outside the box, you can achieve things." More tree cover in urban environments means lower land temperatures, a planning feature that is becoming increasingly crucial in a heating world. A study conducted across nearly 300 European cities showed that urban trees can cool the land surface temperature by up to 12 degrees in summer. The project is the brainchild of landscape architect Bruno Durdens and his collaborator Joop Mulder. And he says, "Right now we need to grow up and stop making a mess of everything. We need to take care of our surroundings." According to him, people have enjoyed the trees so much they want them to stay. From the 14th of August 2022, 100 days after they arrived, the trees will be planted around the city, including in low-income neighbourhoods where greenery is scarce. And that little article was sourced originally from theguardian.com in the UK. We have time for a short question and answer from Benjamin Creme. At every lecture he gave around the world and virtually every day of his life, Mr. Creme was asked numerous questions covering a vast range of topics. So Share International draws on this large recorded resource and publishes answers provided by him and his master over the years, none of which have previously appeared in Share International magazine. So here is the question. How do we find ourselves? How do we find our individual missions? Is this done by transmission meditation? Certainly, transmission meditation helps you to come into contact with soul. That is what meditation is for, any meditation. It is the means, more or less scientific, depending on the meditation, of bringing the person in contact with their own soul. The first way to find yourself is through meditation. And there is a meditation for everybody, and eventually, as you reach farther along the path of evolution, the soul directs the person, the man or woman on the physical plane, into meditation of some kind. It may be very fleeting in the very beginning, but eventually it becomes a powerful part of that person's life, and this connects it with the soul. The soul then can grip its reflection, which is the man or woman on the physical plane, and bend it to its will and purpose. The soul's purpose is to serve, and as soon as you make contact with the soul, you desire to serve. It's automatic, because the purpose of the soul is to serve. It's not the personality that desires to serve. It is the soul, and you cannot have soul contact without the desire to serve. You may serve or not. It depends on you, but if it's your sole purpose, it's wiser, of course, to do it than not. That ends the program for today. Thank you very much for listening. For further information, check out the website share-international.org. And you're also welcome to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.
from Converse.